Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast with Rodney and Michelle Gage, a podcast designed to help you win at home and in life.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Winning Family Podcast, the podcast designed to help you win at home and in life. My name is Rodney Gage, and I'm joined by my wonderful wife, my beautiful wife, might I add, Michelle.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Welcome. So glad you joined us today.
Yes. 30. How many years now? 32?
32 years.
32 years and counting. Right. Come on, somebody. Been married for over 32 years. And man, we love getting the opportunity to help encourage, coach, mentor families. And kind of reminded by that commercial on TV, that insurance commercial. Can't remember which one it is. I'll give them a little plug, whoever it is, if I can remember it. But anyway, they do that says, yeah, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. But anyway, it's kind of that same approach sometimes when it comes to, you know, our world of family and marriage and, you know, pastoring for all of these years and raising three kids of our own and
traveling, speaking, just
all the life that we've lived in these short 32 plus years. But all that to say, it's why we have a heart for families. It's the reason why we want to help families win. Yes. I know a lot of families feel like they're losing at times when it comes to just all the things that are coming against them, the stresses, the pressures of life. And especially in today's world, where so many things are affecting our kids, and we're seeing many kids just losing the battle spiritually, morally, and we want to help change that. We want to help families start winning again.
Absolutely.
And see them become all that God has destined them to be.
Right.
So with that in mind, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know if this podcast is a source of help and encouragement to you. You can rate and review it. We'd love to get 5 stars, get us some fire emojis, some, you know, clap hand mode, whatever, you know, pass this on to some friends, coworkers, other family members, neighbors that you know that could benefit, especially people that are walking in this season right now of raising kids, specifically maybe preteens, teenagers. You know, maybe you're new to the Winning Family Podcast family. Maybe you are just starting out as a parent. Maybe you're just starting out in your marriage. You know, regardless of where you are, what stage or season you're in, I promise you, we're not going to hold things back. We're going to try to tell it like it is, but also give you a lot of hope and encouragement along the way. And so with that, today, we just want to kind of break down, if we were sitting down, which we are, and we could almost like have coffee with you, which I guess in some ways we could virtually.
That's right.
You might be
sipping on a cup of Joe right now.
Listen to this at home. You might be driving down the road. I don't know. Maybe going through drive-through Starbucks.
No, I think they're on the Stairmaster.
That's right. They're probably killing it at the gym right now.
They're running their squats. 6 miles right now. That is what they're doing.
They're the winning family, man. They're like over the top, over the top achievers.
We're supposed to run to win, the Bible
says. Right. Yeah, win the prize. So anyway, let's just pretend we're having a heart-to-heart, you know, conversation. If we could sit down and just literally share with you 32 plus years of what we've seen, good, bad, ugly, what we've lived, experienced, highs, lows, failures, successes, everything in between. If we could kind of just summarize.
We've had them all.
Yes, we have. We could summarize basically 5 things that we would encourage you to ask God to help you live as an example to your kids, to the next generation. I think these would be the 5 things we would pass along to you. And I just really believe this with all of my heart, that without question, no matter what the world or society says, parents, hands down, are still the single greatest influence on a child's life.
That's right.
No question about it. Your voice matters more than anybody. And so my encouragement to you as parents is, no matter where you've been in the past, what mistakes you've made, maybe how late you are in terms of coming, you know, getting in the game here on maybe prioritizing some things, or maybe just trying to be more intentional about certain areas in your life. Don't beat yourself up. Don't, you know, try to, well, you know, if we could do this over, or if our kids were younger, this, or, listen, it's never too late to start where you are. I mean, honestly, the difference between where you are and where you desire to be is what you know. And what we want to do is help you learn some things to help move you from where you are to where you desire to be. Mm-hmm. And you really cannot become who you need to be by remaining who you are. So that means there's some adjustments, there's some changes along the way that we need to make. And so again, no matter where you are in the process, let's just push delete, let's push erase, let's just wipe the board clean. Let's start with a brand new slate today. So no matter where you are, again, you may be doing squats at the gym or going through the drive-thru, okay? But I just want to encourage you to think about some lessons to teach your kids by example. Mm-hmm. And I love what John Maxwell says. He said, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. I think that's so important. Knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way.
So good.
So how can we do that in our homes, in our families? And let me just first of all start out by saying, I think it's important, number one, that we help teach our kids how to respond to failure. Mm-hmm. I think failure is one of those things in our world today where now everybody's a victim, you know, of something. You know, it's somebody else's fault that we are the way we are, or somebody else's fault that we're in this situation that we're in, or, you know, we're always looking to somebody as an scapegoat to basically shrug off, if you will, failures in our life. And it's our past, you know, it's our ex, you know, it's our last boss or last place of employment, or, you know, now, you know, kids today, it's more prevalent than ever. You know, we have the helicopter parents, and we've got the parents. And again, I'm just speaking the truth and love here, where everybody gets a trophy. There's no such thing as winning and losing anymore. Everybody wins. You know, if you go 0-10, it's okay. Everybody gets a trophy. So, you know, we've gone from one extreme to the next in this world and culture in which we live. But at the end of the day, we all fail. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. Mm-hmm. We drop the ball. I mean, the list goes on and on with word pictures and metaphors to fill in the blank in terms of just mistakes that we make in life.
Yeah, just owning up to it. And our kids, without a doubt, are watching and learning from us. And we got to look at failure as a positive in a lot of ways, because we can learn to fail forward. We can't learn really to grow in life if we haven't had some mess ups and realize that because of this, I need to change that in my life. And I'll always remember, and I, you know, we kind of made this aware to our children as well. We went through a financial challenge a few years ago, several years ago, and we were just kind of stuck. And we brought my mom and dad to the table, to the kitchen table, just kind of like we're sitting at here. And the kids were home. They were aware of what was going on. But mom and dad, we sat at the table and we walked through where we were at financially. We brought out every document that they asked us to bring out. We asked for their help. They didn't press in on us. We pressed in on them because we felt like we were failing in this area. And they helped us walk through because they're ahead of us. You know, they're 20 some years ahead of us. They had a lot of wisdom from their own failures.
Yeah, so that on.
They taught us and they walked us through and they said, from what we see here, these are the things you need to do. And we didn't say, oh, that's great, but we're going to do something else. We actually did what they said and got ourselves in a much, much better situation. Now, it wasn't easy and it didn't take a day or two. It took a year, but our kids got to see the amazing benefits even to this day that we still benefit from because of the decision we made those days. Mm-hmm. And because of the, we responded to failure in a way of we need help and we're going to seek wisdom. And for us, that was our parents. Our kids need to see that. I mean, that's a huge lesson for them to have seen in our life, that we went to somebody wiser. In fact, it was our parents that we went to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So failure is a natural part of life. I mean, obviously, we have a sin nature. So you know, we're born, you know, with a bent towards badness. We have a sinful nature of that. I want to be in control. I want to do what I want to do, you know? And so we slip, we fall, we fail. And so again, rather than pushing that under the rug and pretending as though it doesn't exist or it's no big deal, or again, we're pointing the finger and casting blame on somebody else, or we're a victim of this or that, all that does is make us honestly just bitter, angry, unhappy.
Yeah.
It takes the joy out of life, you know, when you walk around with a chip on your shoulder and you can't get beyond, you know, the rearview mirror of your life because you're just always living in the past and failures and somebody else who did you wrong or stabbed you in the back or made your life miserable or whatever. So we have to teach our kids the importance of learning how to cope with failure, embrace failure in the sense of, hey, it's not a bad thing. You know, yeah, there are consequences, and yes, some things we bring upon ourselves, but we have to learn. We have to grow. It's part of maturity. And as believers, I can't remember what verse it is, but it talks about, you know, as Christians, basically, we could, as believers, we can be knocked down, you know, seven times, but we keep getting back up. Mm-hmm. So again, the devil wants to try to not just knock you down, but he wants to keep you down. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, that he who overcame the world allows us to overcome as well. So I think it's just an important thing to help our kids, especially in today's world and culture where, again, we're always looking for somebody to blame and it's somebody else's fault. Let's teach our kids the importance of learning and embracing failure and growing from our failure and failing forward, as you stated, so that we can learn and become better and healthier and stronger in spite of those failures. Yeah. Number two, another thing, if we just pass along to you, is the importance of teaching our kids what matters most. And for us, obviously, this is our relationship with the Lord. This is our relationship that we have as a family and, of course, as individuals. As in my personal life, I know in Michelle's personal life, the most important thing to us is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what that means to our marriage. Christ has always been at the center of our marriage. Doesn't mean we've been perfect by any means, but we have strived to keep him at the center of our marriage.
That's a daily thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a daily surrender.
So,
yeah.
Because Michelle, she's not the easiest person to live with. I mean,
great. Worked out.
Yeah. But no, seriously.
Hey, you're perfect. You are perfect.
Oh, hey, you know, well. But, you know, it is. It takes work. It's a commitment. Yeah. But we can't do it alone. We've had to rely on the Lord. We've had to put him first and keep him at the center of everything. And I love the analogy of the triangle where you have the husband and the wife who's down at the bottom ends of the triangle, but you have God who's at the top, the main point of the triangle. And so what happens is that when you have both husband and wife, two individuals who are moving individually towards God, pursuing God on their own. Well, guess what? Closer you draw to God, and closer you get to God, closer you get to with one another and draw together as a family and as a couple in your marriage. And I think it's just keeping that in perspective that having Jesus as the main rock, he's the foundation. You know, seek first, in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will fall into place. Mm-hmm. It's just keeping the main thing the main thing. And it's like the old analogy of the rocks in the jar, you know, of you put the big rocks in first, and then when you do that, and then you add the pebbles and you add the sand, everything just fits. But if you put the sand and you put the little pebbles in and then you try to cram the big rocks in at the end, it doesn't work. It's not enough room. And that's what happens a lot of times. Mm-hmm. We allow all the other stuff in our lives to crowd out God or crowd out the things that we think or say is most important to us. But again, this is just kind of living that area of priority and
I love this quote.
Keeping those values at bay in our lives.
Yes. keeping them at the highest priority. Yes. Freva Stark, is that how you say her name?
Freya.
Freya. There can be no happiness if the things we believe in are different from the things we do. Mm-hmm. So I think we've talked in the past about authenticity is like it all aligns. The things that we say we believe are the things that we do.
Yeah.
So the things that we say are most important are the big rocks, and they're the things that happen in our family.
Yeah.
So the date night with mom and dad, one, whenever that is that once a week or is that once a month for you? The family vacation, is that big rock on your calendar? Is that the things that we say that matter the most? Is that what's actually happening? Is that actually the things that we're doing? If church, if God, if we say God's a priority in our life, then is church a priority in our life? Because that's the community of believers that's affirming what we believe. So mm-hmm. if we say that's important, is it the thing that we do? Or are we giving everybody an option, whether we feel like it or not, on Sunday morning, whatever time you go to church, whatever day you go to church, those kind of things that they have to align. Our life has to be authentic. What we say is what we do.
Yeah.
What we believe and we say we believe is what we do. It has to all align. What matters most.
Right.
Our kids are, ooh, they are like hawks watching it.
Again, we have to lead. This is a conversation of leading by example.
Right.
So we can't preach what we don't live. And it's easier to preach than to live. So, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, our kids are watching. They are listening. They take their cue from you. And we set the tone. We set the vibe. We set the course. We basically are the leaders of our home. And our home is either revolving around our kids or it's revolving around Jesus. And when Jesus takes a back seat, and the kids take the front seat, and we put them on the pedestal, and our world and everything in it revolves around them, what they want to do, when they want to do it, you know, all the extracurriculars. And we're not saying anything is wrong with any of those things, so don't misunderstand what we're saying. Mm-hmm. All we're trying to say is a lot of times those things over time will compete and crowd out what we often say is most important. So again, it goes back to, are we dating our mate? Are we going out consistently with our spouse? Are we having those date nights? Are we having those family times? Are we eating together, having meals together? Mm-hmm. Are we too busy? We're all, you know, going three different places at the same time because Johnny's got this ball practice and she's got this dance and she's got piano recital and this and that. We're just all over the map. We're stretched out. There's no margin.
Other people are dictating.
Yeah. And so we're just trying to keep up, and our kids are doing what all their friends are doing. So at the end of the day, we have to stay focused on what matters most.
And that may mean some sacrifice.
Absolutely. And it's hard. It really is. It's hard. But at the end, you'll look back and say, you know what? We don't have any regrets because we lived intentional and we built our lives around some priorities that had huge payoffs. And what are those payoffs? Relationships. Mm-hmm. Healthy, life-giving relationship, atmosphere, culture in your home, strong, authentic marriages. I mean, to me, that's what matters. You can't put a price tag on that. And so we just want to encourage you with that. Mm-hmm. So how do we teach our kids to respond to failure? How do we teach our kids when it comes to what matters most to us? Number three would be this, and we won't spend much time on this because we kind of touched on it a little bit, but basically, how do we relate to our spouse? So how do we treat our spouse? What do we do? What do we not do? What are the things that communicate to our children whether or not our spouse really is a priority to us? How do we, when it comes to things that we do that's honorable, things that we do that might be disrespectful, you know, do we devalue certain things about each other by things that we say or how we belittle or make fun or tease or whatever it might be that basically sends a message to our kids?
I love Gary Smalley, the late Gary Smalley's teaching on honor. And that's something we really tried to apply to our life. We did some of his studies at the very beginning of our marriage and based a lot of things on his teachings. But he talked about honor and how he would honor his wife when she would walk through the door. Oh, my goodness. You know, I can't believe I'm married to the most amazing woman in the world. And, you know, and the kids would always be like, oh, dad, you know. But that's kind of that awe and wonder that you can build into your relationship. And I think that we've tried to do that. I tried to do that with you. You traveled a lot at the beginning of our marriage. And when you'd come home, we'd make a big deal about it. Or when you'd walk through the door from the office, we'd make a big deal about you coming in. And one thing I also love is when one of the children, in particularly our son, would be disrespectful to me, you would call him out on that, and you would stand up for me and our relationship, and you would say, you don't treat my wife that way. You wouldn't say you don't treat your mother that way. You would say you don't treat my wife that way, mm-hmm. because our marriage relationship was held in high esteem, high value. And you, that meant a lot to me. And I think it really, really helped our son mm-hmm. know what it means to love and honor, respect his wife in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a lost virtue in our culture mm-hmm. and society today, especially. Most people only know what honor is. Mm-hmm. And so what is honor? Well, honor is seeing something and valuing something as having value, worth, weight. Mm-hmm. And yet dishonor basically means to show contempt or to treat something or someone as common or mm-hmm. ordinary.
Yeah.
And so basically we are lowering, if you will, that bar, that standard when it comes to, you know, how we treat somebody, as the way we talk to them and treat them as somebody who's ordinary or just common. Mm-hmm. And our spouse should not be treated as somebody who's ordinary or common. They should be treated as someone who has tremendous, infinite worth and value mm-hmm. that we hold up in high esteem. So again, by example, this is something that is so, so important. And honestly, it's just missing in so many of our homes today. Mm-hmm. Number four, how we spend our money. You know, it's you often hear people say, just follow the money trail. Mm-hmm. And it's true, because when you think about it, it doesn't lie. It shows where your priorities are, what you're mm-hmm. You know, so if you want to know really where you're, what you really value in your life, then okay, well, just look at the last 30 days, last 60 days of your expenditures, you know, and start just adding it up. You know, when it comes to you're spending money on this, spending money on that, you've committed to this and committed to that. And again, none of those things may be wrong if you can afford them, but if you can't afford them, but and you're still doing it, it's like the old saying, people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need in order to impress people they don't even like. So it's that world that we live in, you know, it's buy now, you know, pay later.
It's for a very long time.
Instant gratification, you know, mm-hmm. of whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to miss out on whatever. But at the end of the day, this speaks volumes to our kids. They're watching. And so if we give them everything they ask for and everything they want and everything they say they need, and we just are constantly shelling out the bucks for whatever, okay, well, what does that communicate to them? We're basically raising entitled, spoiled kids, you know, who've never been told no about anything. And the moment they are told no or face rejection by a teacher or a coach or somebody who stands up to them, now all of a sudden they become the victim. Because and then oftentimes it's the parents that are there that bail them out, you know. Well, how dare you didn't give Johnny an A? You know, I'm paying X amount of dollars for this private school, you know. I mean, it just is a vicious cycle. And so, but that's the world in which everybody's a victim, everybody's, you know, whatever. But let's talk about how we steward our resources and how do we model that? Where do we give? You know, do we model tithing and giving generosity to our children through our time, through by whether it's volunteering or whether it's giving financially to support a need or help with a cause or honoring the Lord with the tithe? We've always, through the years, we would show, help our kids would see us put in an envelope. We did it old school, write a check and give it in the offering. Let them drop it in. Yeah, we had them take their offerings. They would have little coins and their little dollar bills or whatever, and they would put them in their little offering envelopes and take them to church because we wanted them to practice and honor the Lord in that way. And we just help them understand. And I realize some of you might think, well, that's great for you guys, but you know, that's not reality. Well, why not make it a reality? Why not just let God bless you in some ways that maybe you've never experienced because you've never put Him first in some of these areas of your life? But again, our kids are watching. They need to be led in these areas.
You just can't outgive God. And I think that that's something that our kids is a great treasure for our kids to see that lived out. Mm-hmm. You know, when you give, it will be given to you.
Yeah.
Pressed down, shaken over, blessing just running out over in your life. That's that. All I can say is that we've learned that by living that out. Mm-hmm. It's not just by watching somebody else. That's something that we chose to do. And our kids learned just a massive lesson by teaching that by example, yeah. Because things were just, they were just blessed. Their college was blessed, you know, their marriages have been blessed, and they know it's because of the faithfulness that we chose as a family to live out. And you just can't, I mean, why would you not want to teach your kids generosity?
Yeah,
there's just nothing bad that comes from that. Only good.
Even to this day, yeah. We are in awe. Our jaws drop when our kids share things with us and then we're like, and they're adults. Two of them are married. One of them single. He's still taking resumes. But anyway.
That's right.
But
I should give out my phone number.
At the end of the day, we sometimes are just like, there is no way in the world you could explain what just happened other than the fact that God just blessed them, put unbelievable favor on them, opened doors for them that... No, you can't explain it. And we just see that as the reaping of what was being sown for a long, long period of time. Yeah. And I'll just close with this, and then we'll finish the last point, and that is this. When it comes to just this whole issue of teaching our kids about money, stewarding money, but I love what Proverbs teaches. I can't remember the exact reference off the top of my head, but I know it's in Proverbs. So here's what it says. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And I have found that to be true so, so much in so many different ways. It's been manifest in so many ways that, again, it's just that principle, you can't outgive God. And with the hole that you give through is also the hole that you receive through. So I don't know about you. I want to give through a big old honking hole because of the blessings that are in return, you know? So
just joy in giving, yeah, is a blessing enough.
It's incredible.
You know?
So anyway, again, we're sitting down, we're having coffee, you know, we're just talking, we're chatting here as two individuals who've, again, through trial and error, highs and lows, good, bad, and ugly, and everything in between for over 32 years. These are just some things that we have learned, that we have observed, either also from other families, people that we've looked up to, to be mentored by, families that we've admired so much. And we just have seen a common thread that has been consistent among so many families who are experiencing, you know, the blessings and the favor of God. And we want that. And we want that for you. Mm-hmm. And these are just some principles. These are some suggestions. So again, to recap, how we respond to failure, what matters to us, what we say is most important. Those are our priorities. How we relate to our spouse, how we treat one another and model that to our children, how we spend our money. And then the last one would be this, how we invest our time. So again, that time is that precious commodity. You know, we all have the same amount of time each and every day, each and every week, but it's a matter of like how we choose. What are we doing to steward the time in a way that allows us to maximize life to its full. I can't remember the couple's name. They wrote a book, and I've always been impacted by the title of the book, but it's called 18 Summers. In essence, what it was saying is that you only have 18 summers really with your kids before they graduate and move on and move into that adult phase of life. And man, that happens so quickly, and we can testify to that. And so it just seems like it was yesterday they were crawling on the floor, and now here they are, you know, married and kids of their own. And so it happens so, so quickly. And so the question is how are we maximizing the time that God has given to us? And it's the old saying, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Mm-hmm. So, man, I just want to encourage you as parents, as families, as couples that are listening to this today, think about these areas that we've talked about, and think about how all of this communicates a message to your kids. Because I just want to end with what I started with. Hands down, parents, without question, are the single most important influence in a child's life. So let's be that voice. Let's be the louder voice, the loudest voice that is speaking into the lives of our children, the next generation. And again, it's not about leaving an inheritance. Nothing wrong with that. What we want to leave is more than inheritance. We want to leave a legacy. And it's not about what we leave for them. It's about what we leave in them. So what deposits can we make into the lives of our kids that's going to impact generations to come? So those are five things that we just want to leave with you today. And we hope that that inspires you, encourages you, maybe even challenges you a little bit to kind of go back and rethink some things and maybe restructure some things in your life to start winning again, get some momentum in some of these areas in your life to help you just bring joy back into the most important areas of your life, and that's your relationships with the Lord and with each other. So we hope this has been an encouragement to you here at The Winning Family. That's the reason why we have this podcast. It's designed to help you win at home and in life. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you back here at The Winning Family Podcast.